Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Bruce Feldman from The Athletic joins us. He broke the story last night. Tyler's going through a bunch of the details here, Bruce. You want to fill in some gaps, things that you may have found out after the initial reporting about the details of the Tucker CU Michigan State situation?
Everything that I had, or most everything I had, was in our initial story. There's some other, smaller things about maybe why people around him were like, why he did a radio interview yesterday, and a few other things about the idea of going out and still taking part of the donor tour. My understanding was just that people had said to him, you have this opportunity here, and he approached it as such as, look, I'm all in on CU, and if I'm going to try to help raise more money for the university, he said, I'm all in on this job until I'm not. And I think at the end of the day, from as we reported it, when Michigan State came back to him late, I guess it was late Monday night, that it didn't sound like he was going to leave. But then they came back to him again with even a bigger offer yesterday, and then things escalated over the course of the day. And I think, as we reported late last night, that was when he had made the decision that, I can't turn this down. And ultimately that was the time frame of obviously what was a pretty chaotic last 4 or 5 days.
Do you have any idea the amount of money that changed? So he meets on Friday with Michigan State, gets offered whatever it is. Saturday, he tells CU, I'm going to decline it. Whatever that amount of money was, it wasn't enough. Do you have any idea what changed and what those numbers were?
I don't know what the initials were at all. The one thing I did know was that it's pretty sizable, the difference between where he was even Monday night compared to what he was getting from CU. And it wasn't just what he was getting. It was really the commitment to the program in general. I mean, some of the details, I think everyone's going to focus in on, okay, they're paying him double of what he was getting paid. But it's also what it translates to into how to run a football program in terms of, doubling the staff salary pool. That's significant. In terms of the resources in recruiting and to be able to travel with private planes. I mean, as you guys know, you can do a whole recruiting class or even half of one locally. So you're going to have to spend time on planes. And a lot of that, if you're talking about in places where the weather's not great or anything like that, and we've all had trips where we're stuck at the airport. And the reality is a lot of other programs, especially programs you're competing with for these recruits, they're traveling private. And so I think really kind of changed was the reality of life in the Big Ten and the resources they have compared to life in the Pac-12 and certainly at Colorado in terms of where they are right now financially.
Mm-hmm. So, Bruce, here's a much larger question. Now that Tucker is gone, who is the next top candidate for CU football?
Yeah, I just had a story that literally went up in like the last 5-10 minutes on The Athletic, analyzing who I thought were viable options. Obviously, Eric Bieniemy, I think, given how wounded the fan base is and the way the Tucker exit happened, Eric Bieniemy is a guy, obviously, was a CU great and had, has got a hot name given the Chiefs just won the Super Bowl and his role in it. If they can't get him, I think from what I've heard, there's still a couple of options that I think of guys who have big connections to the program who might be interested in this, whether it's Vance Joseph, Ryan Walters. Those are guys with really strong ties there. Ryan Walters is obviously still a young coach, but he's a rising star in it. He is a second-generation player. I think what's critical here for them from talking to people who are pretty connected there is they need to find somebody who they feel like not only are they a good fit, they're going to want to stay. The because you just can't go through this as somebody looking at taking this job. And even if it even if they do well, they're going to be gone in 2 or 3 years because they can get more money or the program gets better resources someplace else. And I think that's one of the things where you're going to have to bet on somebody, either the timing of their career or their connections to the place.
Bruce, great job reporting. Bruce Feldman of The Athletic, thank you for your time.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
Listening to Bruce, I wrote down a couple of things, and the biggest thing that jumped out to me was resources. And that is something that definitely set certain programs apart from one another.
Such BS.
Why do you say it's BS? Is it not true?
I don't know, man.
What do you mean?
Well, I haven't really given my opinion yet because I'm listening to you guys. But
is it true? Yeah, but it's got nothing to do with the circumstances of what just went down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, do resources matter? Does it hurt CU that they don't have an allotment for their assistant coaches like Michigan State does? Of course. Of course that matters. But it has nothing to do with how shady the last week was.
Oh, my God.
The big upset is the fact that Mel had this offer. He went on this tour talking to alumni and then all of a sudden now he switched gears and now he decides he's going to take a flight to Michigan State. Now, I don't agree with the fact of how he handled that situation, but what I do know is that we're all capable of changing our minds. And sometimes, and we talked about it before on this program, everyone has a number. In this case,
what about all those kids that last week just signed a letter of intent
because
Mel Tucker was sitting in their living room telling them that they're going to go win a Pac-12 championship together? Does that matter? Like this isn't just an individual changing his mind. When you're a coach, you, especially a head coach, you've got assistant coaches, you've got players, you've got staff, you've got training staff, you've got strength coaches. You are not just making a decision for yourself. Like, this is about everything. A week after signing day, oh, man.
I get it, but
not a good look. But
it's not a good look, and I don't agree with it, but we've seen this take place in college football before. This is the ugly side.
We have?
Have we not seen a coach?
You tell me.
Well,
when?
I know of a coach, personally. I will not call his name.
Who's been at a program for 1 year.
No.
Went on a signed guy.
D-Mac.
Went on a media tour.
Wait, I know a guy who was on there 2 weeks and took another job.
A head coach?
2 weeks I have
a
less.
A head coach.
No, he wasn't a head coach.
Okay,
he was
head coach.
But wait a minute. Huge.
This doesn't happen all the time.
That's not even remotely on the same level.
Compare it. To what? Give me
Well, let's talk about when Nick Saban was at LSU, right? Did he not leave
LSU?
How
long was he there?
It doesn't make a difference.
Oh, I think it makes a huge difference.
Are you still recruiting kids?
Yeah.
Have you sat in their living room and told them, hey, listen, I'm not going anywhere?
Yeah.
And then those coaches go off and do other places.
Yeah.
So Mel is not the first person to do this.
No, but who else has done it after 1 year?
I didn't like it then. I don't like it now.
I mean, listen.
So let's not act as though this hasn't happened before.
I'm not defending anything.
Yes, you are.
I'm saying this. Just keep things in perspective. Mel, no matter how Mel went about doing this, which I agree is wrong, what we can agree on is, though, this has happened before in collegiate sports. Mel isn't the first person to do this,
doesn't make this situation better.
It doesn't, but that has nothing to do with anything. The point is, this is
ugly. So history repeats itself.
Here's the point.
That doesn't mean history is good.
Here's the point. It's the ugly side of college football where we have high school athletes who are definitely affected by this because they sell themselves to these programs, watching the coach go up to another institution for a payday of his own while they and their families are still scrambling.
Sure.
So I don't like that.
I agree. I just didn't see the relation.
We're kind of on the same page then.
All right, D-Mac, we got to get to your opinion on the. We got to get it here at some point.
At some point. And listen, you definitely deserve a louder voice here, but I absolutely support that. We're just kind of digging into it because there are a lot of other ramifications. You know, the kids, what do you owe the kids? Should there be restrictions against coaches the same way there are about kids? Kids just can't do this. Oh, I got an offer from Penn State. I'll see you later. Oh, Wisconsin wants me. Hasta la vista. I mean, if coaches can do this, why can't kids do it?
I mean, should, especially all those kids that signed a letter of intent that the ink hasn't even dried on. Literally, the ink is not even dried on from last week. Those kids dang sure should be allowed to transfer.
There is some breaking news. Darren Cheverini, who misspells his name, by the way, but his first name, but that's okay. Darren Cheverini has been officially named the interim head coach.
Good.
Okay? When we come back to the water cooler, who else should be on that list? We'll get there next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.